WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, The Capstone, and welcome to episode number 5 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. On today's episode, look forward to league news and our current and all-time starting five, plus sixth man. We hope you enjoyed last week's podcast. Now, let's get into it.
Let's get right into it. Before I jump into the news completely, LeBron is on his way to beating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points all time. I was looking at the score tracker. As of 5 p.m. on 10/26/2022, LeBron is 1,243 points away from beating Kareem all time. What do you guys think?
Wow, that's crazy.
It's coming up.
He'll get it eventually. That's a no-brainer. Unless something just tragic happens, then this record's being taken.
Yeah, by the midway point, probably.
The prediction was around mid-season.
Yeah.
If he averages around 30 points a game. He's averaging 27 right now, so maybe a little later in the season. We'll see. It's definitely going to happen this year, no question. If he doesn't get hurt at all and stays healthy, he'll get that, no problem. Jaylen Brown leaves Donda Sports because of anti-Semitic comments made by Kanye West. We're not going to get into this too much, but Jaylen Brown, he's leaving Donda Sports. He has no agent, so he has to find a new agent. What do you guys think about this topic? And again, we're not going to dive too much into it on the Kanye side of things, but for Jaylen Brown, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's a good source of freedom from him, just escaping the controversies and stuff. I mean, without getting into Kanye, it's not really a ton I could say about it, but I guess I can feel good for Jaylen Brown here.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good thing to not be in the, like you were saying, the controversy of
bad light.
The battlefield with it too. I think he'll have an agent pretty soon.
I agree. Let's get into some injury news here. Zion Williamson, hip injury. Season just started, and the man is already hurt. Head coach Willie Green hopes he can retake the floor at some point during the upcoming road trip starting soon, but still, Zion is already hurt. We knew this was going to happen. At least I did. Hopefully it's not a long-term issue. It seems more like a short-term issue, but these injuries can add up. Also, Brandon Ingram, another Pelicans player, concussion protocol. At least that will heal up in a week or two. He'll be fine. But the Pelicans still beat the Mavericks last night without B.I. and Zion, 113-111. They did it. They didn't have B.I. and Zion, but they did it. What do you got to say,
Jamie? Personally don't think too much of the Zion injury. I wouldn't necessarily point this as him being injury prone. If you watched the clip, he was going up for a dunk on a fast break, and he got pushed down as he was going up. So that's just something that happens in basketball, just the aggressive side of it. I don't think that was necessarily blamed on him just, being overweight and injury prone. That was just a natural basketball accident.
Yeah,
it just happens to be with Zion, who has had injury.
I mean, that could literally happen to anybody, but it just so happened to him, which is unfortunate.
On a lighter note, Chris Paul reaches 11,000 career assists. He has been third all-time in assists for a very long time behind Stockton and Jason Kidd. But he finally reaches 11,000 career assists. He's moving his way up. He'll probably never catch either of them.
No.
Because his career is coming to an end very soon. But in the next, 3 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
He made 11,000 assists. That's a great accomplishment. What do you guys think?
I definitely think it makes him a solidified top five point guard of all time, for sure. Definitely helps that argument.
Yeah, no, I've always thought of him as a top five point guard all time. Ever since he really came into Phoenix, he's just helped that, really every team he's been with, especially the Thunder.
Yeah.
Nobody thought the Thunder would have been good that year, and then he took them to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Suns, same thing. They weren't supposed to be in the finals, and now they're contenders. So, Chris Paul, one of the greats. Congrats to him.
An upcoming accomplishment that no one's really talking about. I just happened to scroll through my Instagram feed, and I found it, and then I searched it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is true. DeMar DeRozan is only 24 points away from 20,000 career points. He would be the 50th player in NBA history to do so. This is under everyone's radar. No one was talking about this. It's crazy. He's probably going to do that tonight, if not tonight, the next game. DeMar is, undoubtedly one of the, I wouldn't say greatest players, but greatest players in our generation. Thank you.
He's an all-time Toronto Raptor.
And arguably one of the top Bulls of the last 10 years.
Definitely.
Probably the second best Bull in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I think he's one of the most underappreciated superstars of our generation. Just what he did for, the mid-range game, a kind of, game that was dying off, and then he kind of brings it back. He brings the Raptors into stardom. He does well with the Spurs, who didn't really want him there, and now he's killing it in Chicago. He's repping Cali well. Shout out DeMar.
Shout out DeMar. Another under the radar, but this is a player. Benedict Mathurin has been killing it so far this season, the first four games. What do you guys think about Benedict Mathurin? Do you think he's going to keep this up? 19 points in the first game, 26, 27, then 17 last night. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think I'm going to change my rookie of the year prediction to him.
Interesting. You know, I still got Keegan Murray number one. No bias. He's been killing it too, but
maybe a little bit.
Nah, I don't know. Keegan has been killing it. But Benedict, I have him number two. If not, he's going to take that number one spot. 6 foot seven, freak of nature.
Sixth overall pick. So, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously a very high pick, but not like top five.
Yeah, he wasn't in the Ivy, you know, Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren conversation.
Exactly.
No. He was pretty under the radar. I don't think a ton of people expected him to go sixth. But here he is proving all the doubters wrong in Indiana, a place where not a ton of people go to, you know, thrive. Yeah. But he's killing it. Shout out him. I have his diamond card in my NBA 2K team. So I love Benedict, man.
So do y'all think he'll be the top scorer in this class? Just so far.
This season?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe the class and as a whole.
Like, okay, that's a very interesting question.
I think it's an extreme possibility. He's just such a natural scorer.
I think it's way too early to predict that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because we're only four games in. It's hard to predict, you know, 20 years down the line if he'll be the all-time scorer from this class. Mm-hmm. I can't really say yes or no on that one yet, but what do you think, Jamie?
You know, I think as a rookie coming in and, you know, scoring 26 and 27 and you're only your second and third game, I think that speaks to some volumes as to how good of a scorer you could be in your rookie year. So I think Benedict Mathurin is a special player, and if he's utilized right, it's a future all-star.
Yeah,
I can see that. Jumping into Damian Lillard and the Blazers. Are they proving us all wrong? 4-0 start. I don't think they're proving me wrong. They're proving Jamie wrong. And Jamie talked me into saying, oh, the Kings will be better than the Blazers.
They
and I was
be.
Like, no. But then we kept discussing it, not on the podcast as much, but on the side when we're just, you know, hanging out together. And I was like, you know what, maybe you're right. You're really selling me on this Kings stuff, but I should have stuck with my gut. The Blazers are 4-0. Am I overreacting?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. No, I don't have a ton of trust in this team.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, the Blazers tend to start hot a lot of the time and, you know, simmer down. Dame Lillard, he's looking very special, but it's not to say that, you know, the Jeremy Grants and the, you know, whoever else is on that team just cool down a little bit. Dame's not going to go out there and score 40 every night. You know, he's not... You know, who he used to be. He's not 28 anymore, so.
Yeah. And I've been saying that, too. You know, last week's podcast, I predicted he'll be a forgotten superstar in this league. But the first four games, the first one, Jeremiah Grant had the leading score, 23. But after that, Dame 41, Dame 31. Mm-hmm. He is killing it. Dame time is back. I'm hitting my wrist right now. You know what time it is. Dame time. I'm riding this one out. I'm excited. Obviously, I'm overreacting here a little bit, but if they can stick to this mojo and they beat the Kings, sorry.
Well, you want to know why Dame Lillard only scored 17 in the first game? It's because he was getting locked up by Davion Mitchell on Sacramento Kings.
Okay. Let me finish here. Kings, and then the Suns, who are a playoff team. Lakers should be really good, but they're not.
They're not.
And then the Nuggets, who are undoubtedly probably going to be a top three seed mm-hmm. by the end of this season. So, hey, I think it's a good thing here for the Blazers. They're off to a hot start. Excuse me. So hopefully it can lead to better things for this roster. Are there troubles in Minnesota? Yes, they are 2-2, but there's reports of, they're already getting booed by their own fans. There's reports of Anthony Edwards. He says he plays better in smaller lineups. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, 7-1.
Just got him, yeah.
Just got him. Also, last night, Karl-Anthony Towns basically called Anthony Edwards unhealthy and doesn't take care of himself and stop eating the Popeyes.
Yeah, Popeyes is good, though.
Because he was showing off the bag, Anthony Edwards. And it's like, there's a little bit of troubles here in Minnesota. What do you guys think about this? Will they figure it out? Or is it already, the ship already falling apart?
Well, I think, you know, and he's had a great start to the season. I think Kat might be feeling that he's kind of getting kicked out of the, you know, this is my team role. It's kind of transitioning to Ant more.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so early into the season. You know, you got to give Edwards some time to acclimate with his new roster, you know, teammates. Rudy Gobert, so new. Rudy Gobert's only ever been in Utah, and now he's, you know, on a new team for the first time. You just got to give everybody a chance to build that team chemistry, so I wouldn't overreact to this too much.
The only thing is they look very awkward playing offense. Like,
yeah.
Rudy Gobert is not a shooter. Kat's a shooter. D'Lo's a shooter. Anthony Edwards is a shooter. So those guys are shooting, and Gobert's just kind of looking. The offense looks very awkward, And I kind of thought about this. I'm not a huge Gobert fan like many fans are, or many people are that watch the NBA. I just think it's kind of an awkward addition to a team that likes to space the floor. That's my take on that. Yeah. And do the Lakers need to hit the panic button? Nick,
yes,
Russell Westbrook, do the Lakers need to hit the panic button off to an 0-3 start against the Warriors, Clippers, and Blazers? Russ is doubtful for tonight's game against the Nuggets. Just because of a hip injury. But does this mean a trade is looming? I'm going to leave this one to you, yes. Nick. And that was via Shams, the trade stuff. So it's definitely a real possible scenario.
Yeah. I've been saying free Russ since about the second game of the season. I think that they're definitely going to be trying to trade him. I think that Charlotte would benefit off of getting Russell Westbrook. You get a player that only has 1 year left on his contract, so if they can do whatever they want with the money. And I just think that the Lakers need to change. Like, they've had this same stagnant roster, just like no shooting, and the defense improved a little bit, I guess, but they just look like such a selfish team, I feel like.
I didn't even say the trade yet, but a possible trade rumor that's going around is the Lakers received Terry Rozier, and to make the money work, Gordon Hayward, which just goes back to my point, saying the Hornets would never win a championship. This would be a beautiful deal for the Hornets, because they get Russell Westbrook, Kendrick Nunn, and 2 first-round picks, whatever. But yeah. Russell Westbrook's on a 1-year deal. When he's gone, he's gone. And then you just rebuild, you suck, you get picks. I think this could be a fair deal for both sides. Obviously, for the Lakers, it would help them, you know, maybe make their roster more well-rounded, mm-hmm. like we all know they need. And then for the Hornets, get a good talent like Westbrook, get some money, get some fans in the building, and start to rebuild after his contract's up and he's out the door. What do you think, Jamie?
I don't necessarily see the Hornets winning this trade. I think this is a bigger win for the Lakers, agreed. Only because they're like the worst shooting team I've ever seen in my entire life. And getting Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward out of that, who are, you know, two fantastic shooters, that's a huge gain. And with Westbrook heading into Charlotte, I think LaMelo Ball is just like a taller Russell Westbrook.
That's what I said.
You know, pass first guards, score when they need to. They play the exact same. And so you're losing a lot of shooting in those two. So I'm not sure how this would really benefit Charlotte unless you're going full Wembanyama
mode. I just think the Charlotte Hornets need to do this. And the fact, like I said previously, they're stuck at mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do this is you got to ship these two. I've been saying Rozier and Hayward got to go because they're the ones that are keeping them in like the 500 or below 500 area. If you get Westbrook, yes, he's still a great talent. I think he'll be better on the Hornets because he'll have the ball more in his hands and all those types of things. But still, I think they get worse record-wise, which is what they need to get themselves out of this just middle.
LaMelo and Wembanyama? Oh, my goodness.
You don't think that, like, you know, Russell, he's really good at getting his teams to the playoffs whenever he has the ball in his hands.
Like when he's by himself.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, with him and Bradley Beal. So you think that they would miss the play-in if that trade goes through? I don't think it would happen.
I think they get a lot worse.
I do.
Because Rozier is a key player. Hayward's a key player. Starters.
Yeah, I mean, Hayward.
And they don't have Miles Bridges, obviously.
Yeah.
So
I just like the shooting. I think the shooting, even with having Hayward going, you have Oubre, PJ, Washington.
They're not going to get you in the play-in, though.
No.
You don't think,
especially
think
without Rozier.
10, at least 10.
Rozier might be your main scorer out there. He has potential to hit, you know, 30 points when he wants to, and then you lose that, and you have Westbrook, who might go 0-for-9 from 3 when he wants to. Yeah. So you're losing a lot of that scoring potential.
Let's jump into our current and all-time teams.
Okay.
Let's get right into it, everybody.
So I'll start us off. So this is a 1-year span of our projections, at least. So my point guard is Russell Westbrook, his 16-17 season, his MVP year.
Okay.
He was averaging a career high 34% from 3, 32 points a game, 11 assists, and 11 rebounds. And he led a team that had that has 67% of the players out of the league now. So you put that.
Andre Roberson.
Kyle Singler. Mitch McGarry. Yeah.
Beast.
List goes
Nick
on.
Nick Collison.
Yeah.
He was old anyways.
Yeah.
But.
And my two guard, I got Klay Thompson. I got his 15-16 season. That would be the year that they blew the 3-1 lead. But regardless, his regular season was amazing. I feel like it was his offensive peak. You know, he was shooting.
Was that the year where he got like the most points in a quarter?
It was because that was the year before KD came. So, yeah. He averaged 43% from the 3 on 8 attempts, which, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And, you know, he's a mobile defender. He gets it done defensively. He can guard the 1 through 4. I mean, he could guard the 1 through 3. But, yeah. So I move on to my small forward. I got Paul George, his 18-19 season, the year that him and Russell Westbrook really hit their stride when they were playing together. He was averaging 28 points per game. He was the third, I think he was top three in MVP. And he hit multiple clutch shots. I remember one game him and Jimmy Butler were going back and forth hitting, like, just clutch shots. So, yeah. And at my power forward, I got Kevin Durant, his 15-16 season. This was the last year that Russell Westbrook and KD played together. They got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. So reuniting them, I feel like, will allow them to continue to do what they were doing. Kevin Durant was averaging 28 points per game, a steal and a block. And he was top three in MVP votes as well. And for my center, I got Joel Embiid last season. My snub for MVP, he only had Tyrese Maxey and Toby Harris, and that was really the whole of the team that he was able to get to the fourth seed in the East. Shot 37% from three on four attempts and averaged 31 points per game. And my sixth man is Carmelo Anthony from his 10-11 season. This is his most efficient scoring season. He had the Garden lit this year. It was whenever that clip of Spike Lee, like, you know, dapped him up and all that.
How well do you think this team would work together? Because that's like our creation here. What do you think the record would be for this team?
I said 62-20.
62-20.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Jimmy? You think this team works well together?
Yeah, definitely. I love Carmelo off the bench. I think that's my favorite part of the whole thing. You get your scoring right off the bench. Joel Embiid, this is a pure scoring team. That's what I like about it.
All right, let's get into my current roster. Mm-hmm. I have Chris Paul at point guard. His 2008 to 2009 New Orleans Hornets edition of himself. His best shooting season, assist, and defensive monster. I think this was like basically the best Chris Paul we've ever seen. 22 points a game, 11 assists, 5 rebounds, almost 3 steals from a little dude.
Little man.
3 steals, 50% field goal shooting. Best version of Chris Paul, in my opinion. The 2 guard. Who's going to be playing with Chris Paul? Klay Thompson, sniper. But different from Nick, it's his 2014-15 version, the year before. And it wasn't his best 3-point year shooting. He shot 43% from 3, so still great. But not his best year. But it was his best 3-point percentage and defensive year combined. So he was playing his best defense while still shooting very efficiently. 22 points a game, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. And he shot 47% from the field overall. Now, who's playing small forward on this team? I got Kawhi Leonard, the Claw. 2016-17 version. This was his defensive player of the year version. Man, it was a beast. I gotta stop saying version. It's not like we're playing 2K here. 25.5 points per game, 3.5 assists, 5.8 rebounds, almost 2 steals, which for defensive player of the year, that was not, you know, almost 2 steals. He didn't average 2 steals. A little questionable. Anyways, 48% from the field, 38% from 3, which for Kawhi Leonard, that's very good. Yeah. At power forward, I just need him to sit in the corner. I don't need him to take over the game. Kevin Durant, 2012-13, Kevin Durant. This was the year before his MVP season, but he was a better defender in this year. That's why I chose him to be on my team. 28 points per game, 4.5 assists, almost 8 rebounds, 1.5 steals, and 1.5 blocks for Mr. Kevin Durant. 51% from the field and almost 42% from 3. So I don't need him to take over the game. I just need him to sit in the corner and play defense, and that's why I chose this year for Kevin Durant. At center, I have Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic.
This is last year's version of Nikola Jokic, MVP year 2 of his back-to-back MVPs. 27 points a game, 8 assists, almost 14 rebounds, 58% from field goal percentage, 33% from 3. He's going to be my point guard when Chris Paul doesn't want to play point guard. So I'm excited for this team here. I don't know why I said I'm excited like they're a real roster, but if they were a real roster, I'd be super excited. And sixth man, I know he's not starting. You guys are probably surprised. I got Stephen Curry, 2015-16 version. As you'll see with my all-time team as we go around the table here, I'll get back to who my sixth man is for my all-time team. And you're going to see, why aren't they starting? Well, I'll explain right now. I just want Stephen Curry to take over the game when he's in. I don't want any distractions. I just want a pure score, 30 points a game, 7 assists, 5.5 rebounds, 2 steals, 45% three-point percentage, and 50% field goal percentage. This was his second MVP of his back-to-back MVPs. Just take over the game, Steph. That's what I want. What do you guys think?
I think it's a great roster. I really like Steph Curry off the bench. Chris Paul's a really underrated addition to the team. I was really hoping you go for New Orleans Chris Paul and not, you know, L.A. Chris Paul, because this Chris Paul was a different breed.
Yeah.
So, overall, I think I really like this.
Yeah, I do too. I like the defense, and the three-point shooting on there. You have a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm. I picked my point guard first. I picked Chris Paul, and I was like, who can play well with Chris Paul?
Yeah,
a shooter, or shooters in general. Klay Thompson. Who can play defense and shoot? Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He doesn't need to take over the game. Now, who needs the ball but can also just sit in the corner? Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And then who can kind of do a mix of everything? Jokic. And who's going to take over the game? Steph Curry. That's my roster right there.
All right. Now, moving on to my roster. Mine's a little different. I really like this team, though. Starting at point guard, I got Derrick Rose.
Ooh, okay.
MVP season, Derrick Rose was out there making these insane shots at the basket. He was passing the ball spectacularly, making Joakim Noah and Luol Deng look like superstars. He averaged 25, 8, 4, and 1 with efficient scoring. Absolutely unbeatable at the rim. This dude was, you know, as I like to say often, jumping out the house. Insane. I love Derrick Rose. I'm kind of surprised nobody else picked him, but, you know, I got to take what I can get. At the 2, I got Paul George. 2018, 2019, OKC.
Same version as Nick.
Yeah, I think this is the best version of Paul George.
Oh, yeah.
He finished third in MVP voting, averaged 28 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Absolute lockdown defender, making up for Derrick Rose, as, you know, Paul George plays that defense for my guards. Size was unmatched, 6'9", and he made shots from anywhere. Him and my third guy would be the main scorers on the team, and my third guy, my small forward, would be Kevin Durant. 2013-2014 MVP season, 32 points per game. Gee, that's insane. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Just like Paul George, his size makes him unguardable, except, you know, Kevin Durant's a few inches taller. KD's the greatest scorer of all time, and I would be dumb not to take him. He had the handles of a guard. He could play defense, shoot right on top of you. I mean, why wouldn't you take that? At the 4, I think him and KD are interchangeable at what forward spots they can play. I got LeBron James in 2017-2018 on the Cavs. So this wasn't necessarily LeBron's best season, but it was his best season of passing and scoring as a combo.
Game 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tatum dunked on LeBron.
Yeah, okay. So Derrick Rose was not the best passer in the world. He, you know, of course, wasn't a Chris Paul. But you make that up with LeBron, who, you know, back in this time was a very improved passer. He was making, you know, Kevin Love look like a great, you know, great player. LeBron is going to go out there, do what he does best. He might give you 50, and if he doesn't give you 50, he'll give you 15 assists, and that's all I need from him. At center, I went with somebody that nobody else went with, and I got Dwight Howard.
You know why I didn't go with him? Because he's not on the team.
He's still in the league. He's not retired.
Okay.
He's not retired. I got him on the 2010 to 2011 Magic. This is his best year in scoring at 22.9 points per game. And it's his second best year in blocks at 2.4 and rebounds at 14.1. He was the best center in the NBA at the time, and it wasn't close. He did everything a person could ask for on the court. I don't necessarily need Dwight Howard to be out there, you know, giving people 30 points a game like he used to. I just need him to go block shots, make alley-oop dunks, and get rebounds.
How do you think this team spaces the floor, though?
I got Kevin Durant. I got Paul George. Dwight Howard just needs to kind of sit in the paint, wait for a rebound. I could, you know, feed it to him down low when I need to.
I like that.
And my sixth man, I got Kyrie Irving. Now, the year choice is a little different. However, this is one of his best seasons in scoring and assists because I got Kyrie Irving.
Bubble Kyrie.
He wasn't necessarily the greatest scorer He was great, but it wasn't his best seasons when he was in Boston and Cleveland. I was really looking at him in Cleveland, and you know, it just wasn't as good numbers-wise as the 2020-2021 version of him. His sage rituals are going to bring the team good luck. And currently in his career, he looks like the most complete scorer he has ever been. This dude just knows how to make crazy shots. He's a dribble god. Can't go against it.
I love Kyrie. I like this team. I think it's very well-rounded. I like what you did with Dwight Howard at center. The reason why I asked you is because I was just curious where your mind was at with that. But going into my all-time team, which, you know, Nick will go first on this one, I just think I like that setup of having Dwight at center, get all the rebounds and pass it out to the shooters. I like that.
Yeah, just pass it out to Derrick Rose. Yeah. He could do the rest. Or LeBron. Anybody. Anybody could take that up court.
Yeah, and that was a good season for LeBron shooting, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Nick, let's go.
I'll get us into all-time. So my positions are a little out of the ordinary, I guess. But I got LeBron, like Jamie, 17-18 season. He'll be running my point.
He did run point guard that year. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think this season, I mean, in my opinion, made him the GOAT. The best of all time, not the greatest. But he was averaging 28-8-9. Second in MVP votes. He got that horrible team to the finals where he ended up being swept. But having a shooter like Ray Allen in the 05-06 season, who's, in my opinion, the best catch-and-shoot player of all time, above-average defender. He gets to his spots very easily. Great defender, gets to those spots easily as well. Shot 42% from three on 8 attempts. Yeah, that's crazy. Averaged 25-4-4 on the Seattle Supersonics. And at my small forward, I got Kobe Bryant, his MVP year.
Mamba.
07-08, he averaged 2 steals a game.
Underrated.
Yeah, along with 28 points per game, 36% from three, and also had 6 rebounds and 5 assists, which is kind of a lot.
Too bad he lost to the Celtics in the finals that year.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, that was a great year for Kobe.
Yeah, it was. Probably his, I mean, I think he got snubbed for MVP a couple years before that, but this is probably
couple
his
times.
Best season, you know, all in all. But power forward, I got Anthony Davis.
Interesting, all for the all-time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but the reason is, I'll get into it whenever I get through discussing my center. So, I got his 17-18 season. He was the best big man in the league this year. Mm-hmm. Power forward and center. He clears.
Definitely.
He clears everybody. He was the best defender as a big man. He shot good from three, which he does not do anymore, 34%. He was averaging 28, 3 blocks, and 11 rebounds. And I think he was an all-star MVP this year. I don't remember, but I know this was the year that Boogie and him first – no, this was their second year. So this was the year they got to the playoffs. So, yeah, I think having him, who's a versatile defender beside LeBron, he can shoot the ball at this point of his career – leads into taking some of the defensive effort off Dirk Nowitzki at my center.
Ooh, interesting pick.
Dirk at center?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who's he guarding at center?
So he is not going to be guarding anybody at center. Okay. He's going to be moving to his natural position at the power forward, and Anthony Davis is going to be doing his thing on the centers and playing his defense. You know how he does. And the season I have for Dirk is 05. Yeah, the 05 season. He shot 40% from three, which is crazy from that time, while grabbing 10 rebounds, a steal, and a block and a half, 26 points per game. And if I'm not wrong, this is his MVP season, too.
I have his MVP season.
Oh, is this not his MVP season?
I have a different year. But it was very close.
Yeah. So this is one of his best seasons as well. And I think that starting five is just a very well-rounded team. And at my sixth man, I got Reggie Miller.
Ooh, I love
94
it.
94-95.
I absolutely love that pick.
I don't think neither of y'all have him.
I don't have Reggie Miller. Okay. I was really thinking about it, though.
Yeah. So
I was not.
So I was. This is the season where he finally got past the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Spike Lee was in shambles. The whole Garden was in shambles. Yeah, he was choking. But he was on 6 threes a game, 41% in the 90s. That's crazy.
Different.
That's crazy. 19 points per game. That's the only downside from that, I guess.
He could have had more if he would have just shot a little bit more.
Yeah. But, I mean, at that time, it was kind of more of like Rick Smith's team a little bit. So, you know, he was just playing off of him a little bit, Mark Jackson. But the playoff performance by him, I think, would carry in very well. And this team having this kind of shooting around LeBron, which he's never had. You know, you have Kobe who can score for LeBron whenever he can. So those are like my two main scores. You know what I'm saying? Those two guys are going to do what they got to do. Ray Allen's going to get to his spots. AD, he's going to drive, play defense. Dirk, he's going to space the floor. And then whenever you need to take the one through three out, Reggie Miller can come in.
Yeah. What I like about Reggie so much is his ability to take over games. As we saw, especially against the Knicks in the playoffs, you could just give him the ball, and he'll hit a three right in your face. 10 seconds left, you're down nine. Just give him a couple more possessions. He'll hit that shot for you.
Yeah.
I like your roster a lot. I have two similar players in my team as well. I like the well-roundedness of your team.
So I have them finishing, I think it will be 72-10. The second best record of all time. That's what I got him at. What y'all think?
I like it. I like LeBron a point. I actually have the exact same thing.
Really?
LeBron a point, same year. And Ray Allen alongside with Kobe, AD, and Dirk. It's a bit of a small ball team.
Yeah.
But it's nothing wrong against that. And Reggie off the bench, I think that is a perfect addition to an already great team.
Yeah.
I like your roster a lot. Jumping into my all-time team, neither of you guys have this player. John Stockton at point guard.
I would have never thought of that.
1989-90 season for John Stockton. This was his best assist season this was his best assist season. 17 points a game, almost 15 assists. Who's doing that?
Oh my god!
No one's doing that.
No, I don't think anybody.
He's spacing the floor.
Nobody will ever do that again.
No one will ever do that. No. Most assists all time, as I mentioned earlier when we were talking about Chris Paul. Almost 3 steals, 2.5 rebounds. 51% field goal percentage and 41% from three. He probably wasn't taking too many threes, so we don't really have to worry about that three-point percentage. Like, oh my God, one of the best three-point shooters? No, he was not. But he's spacing the floor for my roster, similar to Nick. At shooting guard, I have Ray Allen, but the 2000 version of Ray Allen.
Yeah.
This was his best overall season while he was young, before he got older. He had one of his best shooting seasons, like in 2013, but that's when he was old. He was literally just sitting in the corner couch, waiting to get the ball. He'd get off the couch and shoot it. So I did not pick that version of Ray Allen. I picked 2000 version, where I was talking about with Jamie previously. He was jumping out the gym.
Yeah.
So
out the house.
Out the house. He was also a relatively good defender. 22 points a game, 4.5 assists, 5 rebounds, 1.5 steals. His best defensive season by far.
Mm-hmm.
48% field goal percentage and still good three-point year of 44% from three,
mm-hmm.
which is still really good, just not his best season. At small forward, Larry Bird.
This is another one I heavily considered.
1984 year for Larry Bird. This was one of his three MVP seasons. Best three-point season for his career, and also his best defensive season of his career. Averaged 28 points a game, 6.5 assists, 10 rebounds, averaging a double-double. 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks. So you might say Larry Bird, not really known for his defense. He was a little slower on the court. He had 1.5 steals and 1.5 blocks. That's why I picked this year of Larry Bird. He was defensive. He was young. Wasn't too old yet. 52% field goal percentage and 44% from three. He's out there spacing the floor for John Stockton to get his 15 assists per game. At power forward, I have Dirk Nowitzki, the 2006 version of Dirk, his MVP season.
Yeah.
Best shooting year of his career, and also his best playmaking season. He only averaged 3.5 assists, but I was trying to pick a version of Dirk where at least he can help, you know, move the ball around a little bit. So 25 points a game, 3.5 assists, 9 rebounds. Not quite as good on the rebound sector like Nick's version of Dirk Nowitzki was, but 50% field goal percentage and 42% from three. I like this version of Dirk for my roster that I have going on here. At center, I was debating between Shaq and a few other centers, but I chose Wilt Chamberlain for one sole reason. I picked the 1959 version of Wilt Chamberlain, rookie year, also MVP season, and also rookie of the year. Best rebounding year. That's all you need to hear. You don't need to know his points. I'll give it to you anyways, though. 25 points a game, 3.5 assists. Oh, sorry. 30. I was looking at the wrong guy. 37 points a game, 27 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 2.5 blocks, 46% field goal percentage. He had no three-pointer percentage.
That's crazy.
There was no three-point line.
Track that.
There was no three-point line. Sole purpose of Wilt Chamberlain, kind of like with Dwight Howard on Jamie's current time roster, grab the boards, pass out to John Stockton, who can dish the rock, or just pass out to Ray Allen, Larry Bird, and Dirk, and get those threes in the net. At sixth man, very weird to see him as a sixth man, but again, like I said, when I was alluding to with Stephen Curry, I just want one of the best players ever to be my sixth man, so he doesn't have to compete with anyone, and can just be the man. Michael Jordan, the best player this league has ever seen, 1987 version of Michael Jordan. This was his first MVP season of his five MVPs, second most points of his career on fantastic efficiency, and also the most steals of his career. 35 points per game. Imagine that as your sixth man. 35 points per game as your sixth man. Six assists, 5.5 rebounds, and I didn't even know he was like this. Three steals per game and 1.5 blocks.
Was this his depoy year?
No, this was. Oh, wow, I don't believe it. Crazy. I believe it was not.
13% from three.
Yeah. I was getting to the numbers. 54% for overall field goal percentage and only 13% from three. But I don't need him to shoot. Yeah. 35 points per game as your sixth man. That's all you need to hear. Michael Jordan is my sixth man. I think this roster, 81-1. I don't really think there's an 82-0 team. 81-1. And unless we're talking 2K-wise, I think it'd go 2K-wise. But, Jamie, don't give me that look. Your team is not going 82 games. Yeah, give me your roster.
So what I like about your roster, first of all, is it isn't necessarily the fastest team ever, but it's going to get its job done. You have Larry and Dirk. It's just shooters everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Mike coming off the bench. I personally would have started Mike, but I like where you're coming from, you know, when he's coming off the bench. That's the only guy you're going to be looking at. So I like your mentality. Would I have started Mike? Yeah. Do I like where you're coming from? Of course I do. This is a great roster. 81-1 seems like a stretch. 80 wins, you know. I think that's a possibility. I think this is a good 75, though.
Yeah, okay. You're going to be getting all the boards.
All the boards, you know. All you need is Wilt. That's all you need.
That's all I want him to do. Grab those rebounds.
All right, guys. Now let's move on to my all-time team. This is a bit of a weird one. I want you guys to know. So I'm just going to preface now. The theme of my team is height. I would like to have a really tall team, just score over anybody. You know, a lot of smaller guys on the court have a hard time guarding the big shooters. So
yeah.
That's why, you know, the theme of the team is tall. So at point guard, a lot like Nick, well, exactly like Nick, I have LeBron James from his 2017-2018 season on the Cavs. 6 foot tall, or 6 foot nine, sorry, he ain't 6 foot tall. LeBron is the perfect fit for point guard. He played it a little bit throughout the season. He could score, pass, play defense when needed. He's probably the greatest passing forward of all time.
Yeah.
You know, he could take over a game when needed. I think LeBron is a perfect spot as my point guard.
Mm-hmm.
At the two, I got Kevin Durant.
Like
6'11". This was his MVP season, just like last time on my other roster. I have both LeBron and KD from the exact same season on both my teams. I think, you know, he would be a perfect two guard in the league. You know, just like what I said last time, he'll shoot right over you, especially being 6'11". And, you know, if you have a 6'5 guard on him, what's he going to do about it? Especially because the rest of my team is tall. Like, you can't just have, you know, your tall power forward come and guard KD because, you know, everybody else is tall. It's going to be a mismatch somewhere. So KD, shoot a post fade right on top of you. He'll dunk on you, drive right past you. I think KD is a perfect two guard spot. Three, I have Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, okay.
He played it a lot earlier throughout the year, or not this year specifically, but I would say within his MVP seasons. He did play a good amount of small forward, 6'11", 7 foot tall. He makes up for a lot of interior scoring and defense from the first two. As we know, KD and LeBron aren't necessarily the greatest defenders.
Yep.
However, Giannis, he's one of the best.
Definitely one of the best defenders this league has seen.
He already played small forward in the league, and he's way too strong for anybody to guard him. Drive right past you a lot, you know, similar to what LeBron does. He'll shoot on top of you when he needs to. He's a very much improved scorer.
Yeah, great.
Especially
man,
especially from range.
He just needs a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
And he'll be best player ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's why at three I have Giannis. So
okay.
At the four, as I prefaced, I want a very tall team. And at the four, I wanted a nice stretch big. I want 6'9" to be the smallest of anybody on my team. So at the four, I have peak Kristaps Porzingis.
Okay.
Wow.
I never would have thought of that, ever.
7'3" at the power forward position. In his prime, from around 2017 to 2020, averaging 25 points a game down in New York.
That's true. I think we forget. I mean, I even forgot about it, too, just said it right now.
He was one of the best, if not the best, stretch bigs for his time.
Yeah.
It was him and Anthony Davis at a certain point in time fighting for that number one power forward spot.
Very true.
And possibly the best big man in the league when he played in New York. He averaged 23 points a game and 2.5 blocks, close to 10 rebounds a game. At power forward, being 7'3", I don't think anybody else is going to be able to guard that. You know, like Karl-Anthony Towns, he plays power forward now. Imagine what prime Kristaps would have done to that man. Especially because Kristaps was out there playing defense, too.
Before the injuries,
Yeah, before injuries, Kristaps was looking like he could have been, you know, an all-time great. You know, it's unfortunate what injuries do to people, but I got him at the four. I'm kind of surprised I didn't, you know, go off as bad as I thought it would go. But, you know, I'll take it. Kristaps at the four.
I'm not mad at it.
All time, obviously, he's not like one of the best players ever. But for peak Kristaps and the team you're building, I agree with it. I can see it. It's not.
Yeah,
it's a good,
I'm trying to build a tall team, and Kristaps fits the mold.
Yeah.
At the five, I know you guys are probably thinking I'm taking Yao Ming. I'm not taking Yao Ming. I'm not taking Manu. Manu was not very good. He was slow.
Chamberlain?
I'm not taking Will.
Shaq.
I'm taking a 7'2" center, and he's the greatest of all time. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
holding the paint.
You know, Kristaps, Giannis, KD, LeBron, none of those guys were necessarily the all-time great defenders and or rebounders. What I like about Kareem is the rebounding ability as well with that ability to score inside the paint with that sky hook. He's the greatest big man of all time, standing 7'2", fitting the exact mold for my team. The unguardable sky hook, he averaged 3 blocks a game per game over an 11-year stretch, and he had a 12-year stretch of 10 rebounds per game or more, especially during the first 5-6 years of his career. He was averaging 15 rebounds a game, 30 points.
Yeah.
If I got that stretch of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's exactly what I need.
You're going to allow probably 30 points a game with your defense on this roster.
Really? You think so?
Not with Giannis. I think Giannis is enough. Kristaps averaging, you know.
No, I'm saying, like, defensively, you're only going to allow, like, 30 points.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly.
Like, you're locking everyone up.
Yeah, no, everybody's locked up. My sixth man is where I think everybody's going to be a little thrown off. So, again, I want 6'9" to be the smallest on my team. So that's why I kind of went against, like, a Tracy McGrady. You know, he was 6'8". Or like a Reggie Miller, like how I brought up earlier, being that scorer off the bench. He was only 6'6". So I went with a 6'9" small forward that played a few years ago. And I've talked about him. Yeah, go ahead and guess.
Vince Carter?
No, he was like 6'5".
6'9".
Okay. Is he retired?
Yeah.
How long ago?
I would say, I don't think it was 10 years ago. Maybe like 7?
Grant Hill.
No, maybe like 7 years ago.
AK-47?
No. I was really close to picking AK-47. I was very close to picking AK. It was between Larry Bird, this guy, and Kirilenko. But after comparing numbers and certain things I wanted for this team, I went with this guy.
How many teams? Go ahead.
Magic Johnson, you got him at small forward.
No, I would never.
How many years?
This guy probably had a prime of like 3 years.
And how many teams was he on?
He was most prominent for one team, and I think he played for...
What team moved away?
He played for two other teams. I know he played for the Clippers at one point, but like for Lamar 2 years now. He was known for being a Pacer.
Danny Granger.
I went with Danny
Granger.
Been
talking about
You've been talking about that.
You've been on him for a while.
I love Danny Granger. He's one of my all-time favorites. From 2008 to 2010, he was a 6'9" small forward who averaged 25 points a game, had handles of a guard, above-average shooter. Well, why did I say above-average shooter? He was above-average around the rim and was a fantastic shooter. He was unguardable in his prime, and he fits the size mold that I need for my team. The reason I didn't go with Larry Bird was he was only averaging about 1 3 a game throughout his career, and he was only shooting about 3, where Granger was making about 3 a game. And, you know, about I think he was shooting 6 a game, making 3. Just because of the volume I want from 3, that's why I went with Granger. He was a great defender. I don't think anybody's really ever seen the clip of him cross LeBron back in Miami out of his socks.
Deleted off the internet.
Yeah, you got to show me that.
I saw it once on like a Danny Granger highlight, and he crossed over LeBron, and LeBron face planted on the court, and he like crumbled into a little ball, and I have not seen it since. So I got to find that. Danny Granger in his prime was an absolute machine. I think I've constructed this team to be so good, you know, size-wise, playing defense, scoring the ball. I have KD as my scorer. Kristaps needs to score. Kareem's blocking shots. Giannis is blocking shots. Danny Granger off the bench. Scoring everywhere he needs to be. I think this is a really good team.
So what do you think your team finishes record-wise?
I think, okay, I don't know if 82-0 will ever be possible, so I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this is an 82-0 roster, because, you know, more likely than not, it's not. So I think realistic, this could be, you know, maybe 77, maybe 80. I think up there in that range.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I constructed the best roster possible.
Okay.
And thank you to NBA 2K for giving me this idea because they love their tall people in 2K. So I went with it, and I think I built this about as good as I could have.
Okay. So non-biasedly or whatever, who out of our three teams, who do y'all think has the best one?
Well, which one, for current or all time?
All time.
All time. I love my roster.
Stop. Yeah, I know. It's difficult.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I think me and you, Nick, have very similar choices.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean Derek, Ray Allen. So I'm going to lean towards one of ours.
Yeah.
Just because we have similar ideas when we were doing this. So I'm going to – I can't give a set-in-stone answer, but yeah. I'm going to say one of me and you, one of you.
Okay.
All right, I put my roster on the dock.
Now I can get a good look at it.
So if I would have were to say one – I think you guys, you know, I personally would have picked mine, of course.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one of yours, just looking at them, I think I personally, this is hard. I think I'm going to go with Alex.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm going with Nick. I'm sorry. I changed my mind. I was going to say, I'm not a big fan of small ball, but you guys are kind of both running small ball.
So what gives him the edge?
Probably the AD and Dirk, and I really like Reggie Miller off the bench.
Yeah.
That's what I know. You have Mike, but you know, LeBron at the point. That's kind of what I really like about it. Kobe at the three. Before I had the idea of running a huge roster, I was originally going to go with like Steve Nash, Kobe, guys like them. Since you put Kobe, I think I have to give you the edge just because of what he does everywhere on the court.
Yeah. This is really hard, so I gotta say I like your team because you got Dirk with the shooting, so I like how, you know, I like the spacing around it.
Chris Stapps,
you got me.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm tripping. My team is so big. My team would whoop you on 2K. Chris Stapps. No, I don't know if it would. Only because Chris Stapps and Danny Granger are probably low overalls and wouldn't play like I would want them to in game. That's the only reason I would say so. But I think in a real life roster, in a real life setting, I think personally, I would have the best team.
Well, maybe one day we'll find out. No, we won't.
we would never find out. But, you know, a dream is a dream.
Yeah.
And with that being said, thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 and the Full Court Press Podcast. Come back next week for more breaking news, debates, as well as a game we will play called Guess That NBA Player. This is Jamie, Nick, and Alex signing out. Peace.
See you guys.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.